Hey there, welcome to Bread Time.
My name is Gabriel Valdivia.
And this is Charlie Dietz.
So let me do the intro because you're going to do most of the talking in this episode. Let's be real. Today, we found out that Apple is looking to revamp their Mac Pro.
I'm cutting you off. Okay, so today we're going to talk about the Mac Pro. And here, the reason why I wanted to talk about this today is because we've danced around this topic in other episodes, but today, new news came out. The new news was essentially that Apple had like a small press conference with like some select individuals and basically apologized to them and said, hey, we know we didn't make a new Mac Pro and you're not getting one till next year. Interestingly, the articles that came out around this were basically pretty positive, where they were saying, a new Mac Pro is coming. It's going to be like modular. There's going to be an Apple display. And we also reduced the price of the current one that we have now and gave it some like tiny upgrades. So I think people were like pretty on the verge of positive about this, but I actually think there's a lot to this story that we can dive into. What do you think, Gabe?
I think this is fake news, what we just talked about. It's a different story. The story is not that they didn't release a new Mac Pro, but in fact that they are choosing to invest in the Mac Pro, even though it is such a small percentage of their user base. I think that's the story.
Yeah, here's I'm gonna start right now. Point number one. I think Apple was caught way off guard here. I think that it sounds like what happened with the last Mac Pro, which was the trash can design, was that it was unusable for future generations. They designed something that was so tightly integrated with the hardware for it that it just was unupgradable. And I think that was like, remember, like, well, I think Phil Schiller came out on stage and said, can't innovate my ass.
Yeah.
Well, there's a problem with that innovation. It didn't work. They couldn't continue to use that design. And now I think it's going to be 5 years later before we see another design or really an upgrade to it at all. And I think that's like a real sloppy move, right?
I agree. And I think it's sloppy because of the market that it's in. The fact that the pro market needs it to be upgradable and keep up with the industry. And I think usually those bets, Apple lands on the right side of history. Like they did so with Flash and removing the CD-ROM and all these things. But this one just happens to be one of their failures.
Okay, ready for my first twist? I don't care about the Mac Pro. I don't think they should make it again.
Do you think Apple should care about the pro market?
Yeah, but they don't. And I don't think a new Mac Pro is going to change that. So let's say this new Mac Pro is actually modular, like it was, that word was thrown around today. Problem is, PCs solved modularity 30 years ago. Like that's what a PC was, like a desktop PC. You could change out the PCI cards. You could change out the components. You could.
Yeah, but just like everything else PC does, it fucking sucks. It sucks to be modular with your PC. You gotta fucking like get a screwdriver to like open your goddamn machine. No, like, so I think modularity is super exciting. And if a company like Apple can tackle it, that is what I'm excited about.
Don't get me wrong. Apple would be a great company to tackle modularity. If you remember like I think it was the G4 Power Max, I believe they were called at the time. They were the first ones where you could just like pull out the fans and it was like a one piece plastic thing. Or maybe it was G5's Power Max or something like that. But anyway, the point is they did some really beautiful stuff with the internal components of a desktop Macintosh PC. But they're not in that game anymore. They don't really care about that game. That's not a huge market, and they're not going to continue to support it to the level that they did at the time, because at that time, that was their breadwinner. That was like a device that they were selling a lot of proportionate to the like what their company's worth was.
But that is the story. That's the point. They, even though the market is small, they're doing something. The story is like, hey, remember this computer that we haven't touched in years? We're actually working on it. We're actually making something new and something that abandons this trash can design and adopts a new one. And I think that's exciting.
That is exciting, but I have some other reasons why I'm against the device that I believe should exist. Okay, number one.
No, you already said number one.
Okay, oh, yeah, you're right. Sorry. Number two. it was very specifically stated. I believe maybe in like the Gruber write-up or something. I can't remember which one. But in one of them, they said that undoubtedly this machine would not have touch capabilities, which, you know, right now is a hot topic because Microsoft Studio Pro, I think is what it's called. I always forget the name of it. But the Microsoft desktop computer that is a touchscreen did do this, and it got some professionals excited for various reasons. The Mac that they are speaking of, the Mac Pro of the future, will not have this ability. There will not be that type of innovation. Thoughts?
I will circle back to my point a couple episodes ago. I think one-to-one input is not the right way to go for, especially for pro software. I think you want input that is amplified. So yes, give me a touch bar that is gigantic and I can make a small gesture and it translates to a big gesture on my screen. No, I don't want to like touch my screen to interact with it.
Guess what? Twist number three, I agree with you.
What?
So yeah, I don't think this device should be touch. I think that that is like, it's probably not what this device is. It's for people using extremely specific input methods like key combinations on a physical keyboard, maybe with like a stylus or whatever specific to their particular type of professional application. Yeah, it doesn't like touch doesn't seem like it's a big deal maker here. Topic number four, iMac Pros. They basically said they're going to make a very high-end version of the iMac with more processing power this year. That has a Retina display already. It's going to have a lot of power. I use an iMac as my personal machine because it does everything I'd like. Why not double down on that as the pro computer? What do you really gain out of the Mac Pro at this point?
Modularity. That's what you gain. Like, iMac is garbage computer. You can't do VR in it. You can't do real 3D modeling or rendering. It's fine for, like, tweaking pictures left and right, but it's not a real, like, powerful machine. You need a machine that you can upgrade and you can fit to your needs. You can't do that with the iMac.
Okay, guess what? I agree with you.
Yeah, you'll love this episode.
Yeah, the iMac isn't modular, and I understand that. The thing about the iMac is it feels like a huge waste of physical resources, right? Like when you get rid of an iMac, I had an iMac before this iMac, and it got to the end of its life cycle. When I got to that point, I was like, oh, like I'm giving up this whole machine, this monitor. With the Mac Pro, like I would just get a new Mac and I'd keep my monitor. Well, I never had a Mac Pro, but I had like I had a MacBook that went with my Apple monitor, and that was a great setup.
So the iMac doesn't satisfy the desktop pro user base. If that doesn't do it, you're saying the Mac Pro wouldn't either. You're against the future Mac Pro. So then what should be their answer to the pro use base that they want to tackle?
Twist number five or whatever it is now. I don't think they should attack the pro space as they have historically. They've already lost what is, I think, a decent amount of ground with them because they've moved a lot of their resources into laptops and mobile, obviously. So I think continue with that. Continue with what you've done for the consumer on mobile and continue to work on those laptops to make them the best laptops like that ever existed. But then work on creating the new thing, right? Like the new thing that is the future is being able to code on a device that is less than a laptop, right? In that world, something like an iPad type of thing. In that world where I can do my pro applications mobily, that's where we're going to get really exciting results. And maybe they are really focused on that, but I think like the Mac Pro is just a distraction to kind of keep people around because the real future is probably not that type of device. And if it is that type of device for a percentage of people that are using it that way, there are probably going to be better competitors than there have been in the past.
Twist number six. I think they should do that.
Oh, I almost thought you were going to agree with me.
And the Mac Pro. Like they should do
well,
everything.
Then you get your way. That's what they're doing.
Yeah, no, they should do everything. They're the most profitable company in the world. I don't care about your excuses. Do everything and do it perfectly. Like those are my expectations. Sorry. And me being part of the pro consumer base, I want the Apple aesthetic to be introduced into that market. there are pro apps right now that are in the pro kind of workflow. It is horrible. Like, we need that philosophy of it just works to be introduced to that market. And however big of a player they are in the market, it doesn't matter. But I want their voice to be part of the conversation.
Can I go back just to one point from before, which was when you scoffed at my bringing up PC computers from 30 years ago. I do think modularity was really satisfied in a good way for those old PCs, which are still the same PCs that exist today in general principle. If you have a gaming PC now, you have a video card, and that card will plug into many different machines. If you have RAM, it will accept your RAM. I think modularity is solved.
That sucks. Are you kidding me? Like, putting together a computer is horrible. Like, that whole process, it's so obtuse and opaque. What is the right video card for the right thing? I don't know. Let me go into 20 different forums to figure it out. Like, what is the right RAM? What does RAM even mean? I want natural language for all these things, and I want a better guidance for me to figure out what I want when I'm pulling together the modules.
I don't disagree that it's horrible, but you have to agree with me that it is fairly unified over a long period of time, so there's expectations to the modularity. I think if Apple comes in and says, we've got this modularity thing, okay, it's modular, but only within what Apple will sell you. So you're still tied into probably a pretty specific set of variables.
That's fine. I mean, as long as they provide the same value in the pro tier as they do in the laptop tier, then they have my dollars, right?
They'll sell you Pro RAM, and then they'll sell you Pro RAM +++.
Pro RAM S.
They'll be like, how much RAM is here? I don't know.
Obviously, I'm holding them up to a high standard, but, it's Apple. It's the company where everything is white, everything is perfect, and it just works. And if they're saying, hey, we're looking into this space and we want to play a part in it, come right ahead. Bring your aesthetic into it and make it better. I believe Apple can do that.
Well, do you believe it? Why don't you hit us up on our Slack channel? You can do that by messaging us on Twitter. Our Twitter address is breadtimefm. We also have a Spectrum frequency, that is spectrum.chat/breadtime. Oh yeah, and we have a website. It is breadtime.fm. So check that out too. And if you feel excited, share our show with a friend. Have a wonderful day. Thank you for listening to Bread Time.